unfortunately this week you've just got me, because everybody else is out and about across the country doing other things that they feel are far more important than recording the Scribble Show. But don't be deterred, we've got a veritable feast of talent for you on tonight's programme. So why am I here on my own? Well, the guys are out, they've got other projects that we're working on at the minute, they've got to get out and get those finished. But it's been a hell of a week this week. I've been down in London in the smoke, which was a challenging, a challenging day, let's say that. And it was one of those life imitate art moments where I'm on the train on the way home, it gets delayed, therefore the night train didn't get published on Wednesday night. So big apologies to everybody who waits for the night train on a Wednesday night. It really was one of those life imitates art. The night train got cancelled because of work on the main line between Stafford and Crewe. It's just one of those things. These things happen. But don't be deterred, because the Scribble Show tonight will make up for it. Unfortunately, you're going to have to listen to my dulcet tones as we while away the next 45 minutes to an hour on the programme. So this week, not only is doing a challenge with travel down in London, coming back, there's also been a few challenges for one of our colleagues and the guy who runs The World Comes to You, Alan Johnson. It's been a real challenge for him this week. He's had to be admitted into hospital and he's waiting a date, I think, which will be early next week for a bypass operation. So all our thoughts from the crew here at Scribble are with Alan at this particular point. Now, one of the things that we want to do is we want to keep The World Comes to You alive and kicking for everybody out there, because it's a great show. For those of you tuned into it on a Saturday, you'll understand what I'm saying. It's full of interviews with the poets. It gets really underneath what the poets are up to, what inspires them, and what they're doing. So it's important that The World Comes to You stays alive. So we're going to dedicate part of the programme to The World Comes to You, because it is quite important that when Alan gets out of hospital, as he will in the next 2 or 3 weeks, and he's probably got about an 8-week period of recovery before he'll be able to get back to broadcasting. But knowing Alan, he'll probably want to get back to it straight away. I would suggest you don't do that, Alan. Take the time. We're going to keep the name of The World Comes to You alive and kicking on the Scribble Show, so that when you feel fit and you're fully healthy, you can get straight back into it and start producing what is without doubt a superb programme. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to keep The World Comes to You alive on the Scribble Show every week, so that everybody knows when Alan's back, you can get over there and listen to it on a Saturday afternoon. So we're going to kick it off, and this actually, we're going to kick it off this week with one of Poetry in Motion, that's where World Comes to You comes from, Poetry in Motion page, one of their poets, John Kavanagh. I listened to him being interviewed on last week's programme. In fact, he was interviewing Alan on last week's programme, along with Susan Worrell. John Kavanagh, who's one of the poets there, writes some wonderful poetry, and Alan, before he went off to hospital, actually voiced over and did a reading of a piece that John Kavanagh wrote, which is called Come With Me. And I thought it'd be really fitting to start the program off with this, what can only be described as beautiful poem. So as we say every week, kick off your shoes, sit back and relax, because we're going to take you on a journey now as we run through what I can only be described as I described earlier, a real feast of talent on the programme this week. Have a listen to Come With Me, written by John Kavanagh.
Come with me to the meadow of golden daffodils, beneath the stars of heaven, where the silver moonlight spills, where lovers seek their future and hearts can beat so free. Come with me to the meadow, in the moonlight dance with me. Come with me to the orchard and through the orange grove, beneath the golden sunshine, where lovers long to rove. Where Cupid fires his arrows just to pass his day, that I can look into your eyes, my love, come rove this way. Come with me to the ocean, we'll see the ebbing tide, let's look to the horizon just by each other's side. we can plan for our tomorrows while living for today. Come with me to the ocean, my love. What do you say? I'll come with you to the meadow, the ocean and the grove, for it will be forever with you I want to rove. I'll dance beneath the moonlight. I'll watch the ebbing tide. I'll see our new horizon while standing by your side.
Now, if you ever were thinking about the summer, today in the UK has been a glorious day. The sun's been shining down, and I listened to this earlier on. I took my laptop out into the garden, and I was listening to the set for the show, and I was sat there listening to the birds singing. The sun was beating down, and it just felt like the middle of summer. I thought, what a fantastic way to start this week's programme off. So, wonderful piece of poetry by John Cavanagh, and exceptionally read by Alan Johnson. Well done, Alan. Superb piece, that. Now, every week we say this, Poets Dream, we work in conjunction with them on Google+. So if you're not on Facebook and you're on Google+, ensure that you get involved with Poets Dream, because we're picking some of our poets up from that area as well. And they've got some, what can only be described as really talented poets working over at Poets Dream. And I've picked a couple of them this week. And what we're doing is we're spreading them around through the show. So you pick up some of them as we go along. But one of them in particular is somebody called Sky Lilliam. And this is a bit of slam poetry. So it's a different mood now, slam poetry. And it's called Which United States of America. And see what you think to this one.
Which United States of America is it that you love so much? Because slavery was abolished in 1865 after war, and segregation was stopped by the Civil Rights Act in 1964 after Brown v. Board in 1954. Almost 100 years later, after all the bloodshed, we still didn't see an end to segregation after almost a century, and yet today, we still carry on the drug war, where all races seem to do and sell drugs at similar rates, and yet we still prosecute more racial minorities than the majority. The battle isn't over. Is it even a priority? A priority to the youth or the authority? We should be able to stand together, solidarity. We're all human. We've got that similarity. So which America is it that you love so much? Or are you just out of touch? Do you understand these issues and such? Let's go on to another. Do we remember when gay bars got closed in 1969 New York? Stonewall riots happened, and then the floodgates opened, groups of people awakened, and the LGBT plus movement's roots were formed, because even though the Stonewall riots weren't the first, people thought being gay was the worst. It wasn't until 2003, until Lawrence v. Texas forced 14 states to decriminalize being gay. In the year 2015, 12 years after Lawrence v. Texas, gay marriage was finally legalized in the United States. To this day, we still don't have trans equality, and we still don't see gay equality, because we still see discrimination. That is the real immorality throughout the nation. Let's not forget intersex issues, for surgery at birth to conform to a gender. No telling how that person will feel. Which United States of America is it that you love so much? Which United States of America is it that you want? A patriot fights for their nation to become the greatest it can be. So tell me, which United States of America is it that you will create? The bottom 90% of Americans only make an average of about $33,000 a year, or $15 an hour. And depending on which city or state you live in, that isn't enough to make ends meet. Meanwhile, the top 10% of earners get about $295,000 a year. The top 5% of earners get about $448,000 dollars per year. The top 1% earns about $1,200,000 a year, and the top 0.1% earns $6 million a year, on average. Meanwhile, the 90% isn't always able to feed themselves. The middle class shrinks and the minimum wage has become almost worthless depending on where you live because of inflation since it was implemented. Before 1980, before the election of Reagan, who implemented supply-side economics and massive tax cuts for the rich, before Reagan, the middle and lower class, the majority of people, held a far larger percent of wealth than they do today. After Reagan, we began a massive shift of wealth from the bottom to the top, causing the economy to hurt and people to be impoverished. Why is it such a radical idea that we pay workers enough to survive and that the rich must pay their fair share of taxes? Why is that such a radical idea? And if we can't do that, and if we can't pay our workers fair wages, then we need social welfare programs that so that people don't die. But instead, our politicians fight against both ideas. For most often, they are a part of the rich, or they're taking money from the rich. The thing is that we're all in this together. Freedom for racial minorities is freedom for everyone. Freedom for the LGBT plus community is freedom for everyone. Freedom for the lower and middle class is freedom for everyone. For if the lower and middle class has enough money to spend and put into the economy, then that helps everyone. Listen, look, all right, I am not looking for a fight, but which America do you love? The one where the poor and the rich can both thrive? The one where you had the New Deal, the real deal, do you feel? Or the one that we put the Japanese into internment camps? The one where we enslaved people? The one where we outlawed gay marriage? The one where we oppressed the non-white people? The one where we recovered from the Great Depression with the New Deal? It's the same America. But at one point, we were together, and at other points, we were divided. Take a look at Denmark, Canada, Germany, Sweden, Australia. Take a look at history. You can find the answers. You can find out what works there and what worked then and implement it here. How about we take a good idea from somebody else for once? So that way, we can figure out which America.
Well, there you go. Which America? A lot of similarities there with what's going on in the UK. Now, we know we're non-political here on The Scribble Show, but give me a break, for goodness sake. The poor are getting poorer and the rich are getting richer, and we're seeing that all over the world. So thank you very much for writing that, Sky. It was a great piece from somebody who's transgender, who's supporting gay rights all over the world. And I thought it was just a really good piece to put into the program today. So thank you very much for doing that, Sky. Now, moving to just a bit of a different feel now. He's been on the show before, a guy called Mel, The Thoughts I Share, another one of Poets Dream's classic poets who appears there all the time. Have a listen to what Mel's got to say. This is called The Thoughts I Share.
Sit here reflecting on dreams, images of myself, future distant, and the memory of fades, sands of time, trying to figure myself in the hourglass of existence, the past, the present, the future, existence. Life, death, mortality, all in an instant. What is this? Where will I go from here? Will I live to see tomorrow? Or will tomorrow just disappear? Who knows? Who cares? On a spring afternoon, these are the thoughts I share.
Interesting thoughts, very deep there from Mel. I can almost imagine him sat there at the side of a wall just verbalizing these thoughts. quite deep, but really nice poem. And like most of the guys on PoetStream, they put together some really thoughtful pieces, as they do on Facebook, as they do on the Scribble page, as they do in Poetry in Motion. People are thinking quite deep about what they're putting together. So that's just a couple from PoetStream. You'll see more of them, or listen to more of them, as we go through the programme. But I was talking of, I say talking, you never talk, do you, on Facebook? You kind of message people, you kind of respond to comments, you kind of share things. Well, I got into conversation of that sort with Charles Edward York, and he posted a piece called What Winter Won't Let Go. And I read it and I thought, yeah, I'll really like this. Now, Charles couldn't voice it, couldn't record it, so I've recorded this for him. And have a listen to this one and see what you think to this.
When spring makes a slow arrival, so unreasonably late, a heavy coat of frigid climate, from somewhere far away drags me unmercifully down. A cold canopy comes to claim me captive. Waves that ominously rise to fall drown the mood I want to wear in unwelcome drama of tears and dread, soaking my landscape in drunken sadness and melancholy pools of sullen release. Daylight is split in two as my sunshine world gives way, rays divide into dissolution, mutating into darkness. Gravity showers disappointments upon the windows of my soul. Searching to alleviate the weight, I bend towards the horizon, declaring my surrender. A wellspring calls me to wallow under a shower of my own choosing as I wash away what winter won't let go.
What winter won't let go. I always feel a bit like that. It won't let some of the things go. So when I read it, I could associate with that. And Charles Edward York, like a lot of you poets out there, have been extremely successful in getting printed in magazines or publishing books. And great, more power to you. The more you do that, the more we can cover it and the more we can promote it. And keep on posting on the Scribble page. Keep on posting to all Poetry in Motion, the Scribble page, PoetStream, wherever it is, post it, because we'll find you. And if we find you, we're going to broadcast you, because your work is worth broadcasting and it is worth people listening to. So keep on doing the work that you're doing. And Charles, thank you very much for writing that and posting it on the Scribble Show. Now, we also have a SoundCloud account as well, and you can post your work on the SoundCloud platform that we've built there. And Heather Alley is one of those regular people who actually puts her work on there for us to have a look at and have a listen to. And she produces some really interesting pieces of work. And I know Steve in the past, when we've done the broadcast, unfortunately he's not here today, neither's Jeff, they've listened to it and gone, you know what, I don't quite get that. Well, you've got to listen to him a couple of times. Well, this one, Before This Time by Heather Alley, is worth a listen.
There was a time, before this time, when I thought I knew the why and the how of the world, when I trusted intelligence, reasoning that if I followed the directions printed on the back of the box, logically, critically, thoughtfully, carefully, doing all the right things, I would find my place, my love, my family, my song, and truly, these would be my own. There was a time, before this time, I believed in happy endings, that love could be unconditional and responsive, that time healed all wounds, that you always get what you need, that things work out the way they're supposed to, that if you're accountable and do the work, you'll succeed, that everything happens for a reason, and people can change because you love them so much. If you're good, doing good, then good will happen, that dreams could come true. There was a time, before this time, when I thought I knew why I was here, I was fired up about the great job I was going to do. While I was awake this time, I reminded myself to stay at the wheel. There was a time, before this time, when faith was just a pep talk away, when I had too many friends and not enough time, when moments of joy on the faces of my loved ones, sunsets saying goodbye, weddings and wildflowers still made me cry. There was a time, before this time, when I was soft in the head, hard in the heart, wanting so badly to belong to someone, anyone other than me. There was a time, before this time, I watch myself, remembering it now.
Now, I think everybody's going to get that one. There was a time before this time. What a great way of putting your reflections into words, because there's always a time before this time when you're looking back and you remember the things that you did well and things that maybe you didn't do so well, or the thoughts that you had, or the indiscretions you made, or whatever it is, but you can think back to before this time. So really well written. Thank you very much, Heather. It was really, really well put together piece of poetry. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. Now, you're not going to hear me doing much laughter this week, because usually Steve and I have a bit of banter, or Jeff and I do, and as they're not here, it's just going to be me commenting on it. So I'll try and keep the comments to a minimum, because this is all about the poets. It's all about you great poets out there. And can I say thank you once again for all the work that you're posting on the Scribble show so that we can get them broadcast. And thanks to all the listeners. We don't say that enough, really, on the programme. Thanks to everybody who's listening into the programme. You're making it a success, along with the poets. We're just a conduit for this great talent that is out there. Now, James Kelly also posts up on the SoundCloud account, and he's quite prolific as a poet. He's been on the programme once before, but it's worth listening to. We've got about 10 or 12 of his that we're going to play over the next sort of 12, 14, 15 weeks. But this one's called Fitted. Have a listen and see what you think of this one.
I woke up drenched in your affluence, a lonely thread distending out of me. You had been at work again, the ever clever tailor of my fervor. My skin cried colors that I had seen in your eyes. Every bit of me already missed you. Like an octopus's epidermis, my body tried to correlate hues. I had to find some way of remembering you. A chorus of throbs sang songs of pitiful hope. With every beat, I felt what you had left inside of me. I could see your hands cradling vitality. You struck chords beneath my skin, composing my tone to fit your need. You robbed me of me and left me in need of you. I don't know if it was some kind of slanted self-defense or morbid curiosity, but my hands became excavators, and I dug deep into myself, hoping to find the answers. Maybe I could find the notes, a harmonic map to sympathize your will with my own. I just had to understand why. But there was nothing. I drug my fingers slowly beneath the dome of bone as if I were fishing for hope, but there was nothing. No hint of why, no glimmer of your reflection, only a poorly sutured bag of what could only be described as frailty. The adrenaline once thick became laxed under the weight of realization, and I choked on the hysterics of being undone. I'm no surgeon, just a frantic boy bleeding out in his own living room, staring into his chest, begging his surrogate heart to keep beating. I don't want to die like this. Want to die like this.
Twelve poems, two words. An explosion of mind-bending, heart-rending, scaring, sharing, dream-making, tear-jerking poetry of epic proportions. That is Kubli. It's Poem Kubli time. So that's the group that are given two words, and out of those two words they create some of the most fantastic poetry that you could ever want to read or to listen to. Now, as I'm in the studio on my own and the light's starting to fade a little bit, I can see it out of the windows, and there's nobody here to distract me. You know, when I'm doing the show with Steve and I'm doing it with Jeff, they're distracting me, they're pulling faces, they're trying to make me laugh. It all becomes very difficult and a little bit childish, because we enjoy being a little bit childish. But the winner of this week's Poem Kubli is the guy who actually set the whole program up of the Kubli project and brought all the 12 poets together. And this week, his poem's been chosen as the Poem Kubli of the Week one. Now, it's called Under a Full Moonshine. And we're going to try and do something dangerous now, because I'm broadcasting live, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to read his poem Under a Full Moonshine live on the program, because this is a great piece. Now, I hope I can do it justice for you, Alex, and it goes like this. Under a full moonshine, black rusty gates, bubbled paint hinges, mouse moaned for oil half open, uneven stone paths I navigate, a barrow loaded, a muddy shovel, tall swaying trees cast creepy shadow fate over the dusky atmosphere, moonlit eerie breeze serenades, with crawling leaves resembling creepy critters, and slimy worms ease past stone rows erect. A forest of carved names and dates reflect those through sad life deaths, passing from sleep into painless depths, where salted tears of confused mourners splash dirt upon for old age understanding, dried flowers wilting to the end of days, calling. The shovel glints before sliding into the dark, cold, frosty ground. Mist rises like a prayer around the empty spot I have found, untainted by rotting, stinking flesh and pounding bones. A pile of earth grows beside as I subside deeper, deeper into the layers below the surface, layers of jealousy, revenge and careless neglect. Deeper still I descend, till finally I forget. Start struggling back to my feet, standing broken without regret. I bury another. Multitudes have I now cast into dark holes, below mounds of dirt, and yet I could fill within these soiled walls one a day for a year or more. More than 5 years, more, and I would not bury them all. As I still hear them in restless sleep, my name do call. Wonderful poem. Well done, Alex. Really deserved to be the poem of the week on Poem Kubli. Absolutely super. Now, moving on. I spoke before about The World Comes to You, and I'm going to play their 20-second jingle because I really like this jingle, and it sets the scene for what The World Comes to You is and what it will be back to. So have a quick listen.
Well, hello. The World Comes to You here on Saturdays at noon. That's GMT.
Somebody mentioned tea.
Well, GMT is the world time zone. Oh. So people tuning in from Japan or somewhere else.
I live around the corner.
12 o'clock, Saturday, the 9th of April. The World Comes to You.
Oh, I can't have all them coming here.
Well, there you go. Well, I am laughing after all. Always makes me laugh when I listen to that 20-second jingle for The World Comes to You. Now, we know it's not going to happen on Saturday because Alan, as I mentioned earlier, is going in for bypass surgery next week. So it's going to be off the air for a number of weeks now as Alan recovers, because what we want is Alan back to full strength. And I'm determined that we're going to keep The World Comes to You alive and kicking for when he gets back to full health. So I've picked a couple of the poets this week on Poetry in Motion, which is where the content for The World Comes to You actually is drawn from. And Susan Worrell's doing a great job as administrating it now while Alan's away. So well done, Susan. And I know you've got John Cavanagh helping you and a couple of other people, which is really great. And I've picked a couple of people because we're going to cover some of their work. Now, this one's by Andrew Jones, who's a really big friend of Alan Johnson's. And Alan actually narrated this. It's called Hands of Man. Have a listen to this one.
The river meets the sea, where in the morning most birds sing, where the leaves fall from the trees, where the grass grows evergreen, where our cows grow fat, not lean, and where foxes and rabbits have always been, where nature has a helping hand from birds and bees and hands of man. Where the river meets the sea, where in the morning most birds sing.
Befitting of this time of night, as dust starting to fall across the studio and the light levels are being dimmed, And what a lovely piece by Andrew Jones. And what great bit of piano playing by Alan. I know Alan actually did the music to that. It's a really nice production. So that's the first one for The World Comes to You. We're now going to play The River's Language by Carlos Gomez, who's another member of Poetry in Motion. So have a listen to this one.
The River's Language by Carlos Gomez. Language. I've heard its voice. I've seen to where it flows, and I've even seen its thirst from its muddy bosom to its many curves. I knew the river when we were both young. Its kindness helped establish the farms along its run. But I also saw its sadness and sometimes felt its madness. I knew the river's language. It spoke with many tongues. I saw its many waters upon which people sailed. I tasted its sweet waters, and now its sweetness smells. I knew the river's people that rooted themselves like trees. Now mostly what I see or hear from it is criminally ill. Its sluggishly waters polluted no longer give life but kill. The river was mistreated by some that didn't care, so now its flow is dying and no voice from it heard. Betrayed by greed and industry, the river's life is gone.
For me, as a bit of an environmentalist, I'm always on my high horse about something. I really understood that, you know, the way that we interfere with nature, the way that we interfere and we pollute the rivers. It's a really lovely piece, well put together. Thanks very much, Carlos, for putting that together and posting it up there. Now, somebody else who's not only part of The World Comes to You, but part of the Scribble community as well, is a lady by the name of Susan Guest. And Susan wrote a piece which I couldn't resist having on the programme. It was that simple. It was a bit of a no-brainer. It was one of those no-brainer moments where you think, you know what? We need to put this on the show. So I've got Louise, one of our team, to record it for me. And we're going to play it for you now. And we're going to play it under the banner of The World Comes to You, because she works, she posts in both areas. And I think it's important that we give credit to both areas, World Comes to You and The Scribble Show. So have a listen to what Susan's written.
There is a meadow east of here where visits fox, raccoon and deer, where wildflowers grow towards peaceful skies, filled with the sweep of butterflies. A place we found one afternoon, late May or perhaps early June. It was a place we'd often walk to hatch out plans or laugh or talk. You asked me could we go again that last month when you were in pain. You said you felt ease in the air. So we set off to journey there. I eased you from the front car seat and helped you stand upon your feet. We slowly, slowly walked that land, reaching the meadow hand in hand. I sat you down upon a rock. You were too tired for us to talk. We, side by side, just sat and shared the last time we would visit there. The sun went down, the stars came out, as fireflies flit all about. A nightbird song came to our ears while gentle breezes dried our tears. Time moved towards dawn as night will do. We had to face tomorrow too. I eased you back into the car. 'Twas when you wished on the last star. I wish tonight would last and last, that morning wouldn't come so fast, that I could stay here in this place, forever gazing on your face, to never have to say goodbye.
Well, that was really heartfelt and meant an awful lot to me. And it was one of those pieces of poetry that you read and you can reflect back on your life and things that you've had to do either with parents or with a loved one towards the end of the day. So, wonderful piece, Susan. Thank you very much for writing it. Now, we're going to play something by Michael R. Justice. He recorded a poem by E.E. Cummings. It's called I Am a Little Church.
I am a little church, no great cathedral, far from the splendor and squalor of hurrying cities. I do not worry if briefer days grow briefest. I am not sorry when sun and rain make April. My life is the life of the reaper and the sower. My prayers are prayers of earth's own, clumsily striving, finding and losing, and laughing and crying. Children whose any sadness or joy is my grief or my gladness. Around me surges a miracle of unceasing birth and glory and death and resurrection. Over my sleeping self float flaming symbols of hope, and I wake to a perfect patience of mountains. I am a little church, far from the frantic world with its rapture and anguish, at peace with nature. I do not worry if longer nights grow longest. I am not sorry when silence becomes singing. Winter by spring, I lift my diminutive spire to merciful him, whose only now is forever, standing erect in the deathless truth of his presence, welcoming humbly his light and proudly his darkness.
Another great reading by Michael. Absolute superb reading and a wonderful poem by E.E. Cummings. I Am a Little Church. Tells you an awful lot about life. So thanks very much for actually reading that, Michael, because it means a lot to actually get that on the show. Now, moving along, we have a poet by the name of Marianne Finch. She's been on the programme a couple of times. She's a bit of a talent scout, I think, now for the Scribble Show, because she pointed out Michael Gagan for us, who we've had on the programme, who's the master of horror of all in all genre, in that genre in particular. But she also spotted another guy by the name of David Lewis Padgett. And she sent me a message on Facebook and said, get over to David Lewis Padgett. I've told him about you and what you're doing. Have a listen to his poetry. Have a look what he's doing, because I think he'd be really good for the Scribble Show. So not one to ignore what Marianne said. I got straight over to David's page, had a look at what he was doing, read a few of his poems, went onto the SoundCloud page, had a listen to a few of those, then over to YouTube, and I thought, you know what, I'll ask him to send something that he thinks he would like to hear broadcast. And he sent us this piece called Icicles. Have a listen.
Icicles. There were icicles hung from the windowsill at dawn when I thought to peep. When the snow's built up to the top of the door, it must be 6 feet deep. Diane was shivering under her gown when she crawled back into bed. You'd better go out and fix it, Phil. Too late for that, I said. I'd peered on out of the window and the sun was shining bright. The birds were twittering in the trees, awake in the early light. There wasn't a sign of ice or snow at the door or windowsill. I went to check on Diane because I thought that she must be ill. She lay still shivering in the bed. I thought that she had the ague. The ice is deep in your soul, I said, but her eyes were cold and vague. The ice is there on the window ledge and the snow is piled at the door. Go out and clear it away for me before it spreads to the floor. I stopped to look at the mantelpiece, at the picture of our son. She'd cut him off with never a word for some trivial thing he'd done. We hadn't seen him for 7 years, and he never phoned or called. She'd not shed even a single tear, and for that I was appalled. The cold is eating my very bones. I can feel it creeping in. She seems so suddenly old and grey. There are several types of sin. Will you not go out and shovel the snow for the wife that you used to love? I would if the snow was at the door, but the sun is bright above. You haven't loved me for years, she said. You never do what I want. Love is a two-way street, I said, not a one-way covenant. Before we take, we should always give so the feeling is returned. But you've locked yourself in your tiny soul, and you've left me feeling spurned. I give you what you deserve, she said, since you let our daughter go. You let her marry beneath her, as I said, I told you so. You made our daughter unhappy by rejecting the one she loved. You wouldn't go to the wedding, so she said that she'd had enough. The ice has formed on the ceiling now. Why can't you feel the cold? The ice and snow that you're seeing is the ice cave of your soul. I've hated you for many a year, she spat, and she said it twice. That's sad, for I've always loved you, I began. But her eyes were ice.
Well, that was an amazing piece by David Lewis Paget. Because it always amazes me how families can be destroyed by making decisions and thinking for other people. And it does do that. You know, I know families who've been destroyed by that because mothers won't speak to daughters or fathers won't speak to sons. And it was just the way it was put across. And that affects the husband and the wife. And it always has to, and it always will do. So it was a great piece of observation. We look forward to broadcasting more of your work, David. So keep on sending them through now so that we can get them on the programme. Now, talking of Marianne Finch, what I said to Marianne was, we've not had you on the programme for a while. Send me something through, girl. Let's have a look at it. And she sent a couple through, and one of them was called The Talking Robot, which I thought was really cool. So we're going to play The Talking Robot now by Marianne Finch.
The Talking Robot. My little son was 6 years old, really smart and good as gold. An illness at birth left him weak and robbed him of the power to speak. I took him to the doctors and psychologists, added him to therapists' lists, spent hours asking him to repeat assorted words, wouldn't admit defeat. The only sound he'd ever make was at decibels to glasses break. A scream that was so high in tone, it made your head ache to the bone. One day at a garage sale, looking round to no avail, when I spotted a talking robot toy, I thought its talking may encourage my boy. It had to be worth giving a shot. He was thrilled when I showed him what I'd got. He spent hours listening to the robot's voice, carried it around, his toy of choice. A few weeks later, I served him lunch. He said, I don't like waffles much. I hugged him tightly. You can speak. Tears were rolling down my cheeks. I was so happy. How can this be? The robot gave his voice to me. He started speaking a lot at home, but always in a dull monotone. I should be happy, but I'm not. All his emotions he has lost. His voice has lost all inflection. How he feels escapes detection. He either looks at me and glares, or sits alone and simply stares. The robot toy was in favour no more, tossed in the corner on the floor. I picked it up and pulled the string. Screamed and dropped the wretched thing. The only sound to come from the toy was the high-pitched scream that used to be my boy's.
Hey, what a great twist to that one then. The way the robot takes the son's voice and the son takes the robot's voice. Really cleverly put together. Nice little twist at the end. Oh, there they go. That's my alarm to take my pills. The usual sort of thing at 9 o'clock at night. A bit like Pavlov's dog, so just let me turn that off. There we go. That one's off. Now, great piece that, Marianne. Thank you very much for sending that in. And we've got another one that we'll play next week as well. So thanks for submitting those. Now, Zano Cespon has become a bit of a regular contributor, not only to the SoundCloud account and to the Google Plus account, but also to the Scribble account as well. And we played him last week, and I make no apologies for it. We're going to play him again because this is called Life Games. Just have a listen to this one.
Miles and miles away, somewhere on Earth, under a burning sun, once riverbeds, now dust and sand. Day by day, a boy, a girl, thousands of them play imaginary games. These shells will be our boats, and your sticks our swords. As far as you can see, our adventures seven seas. I'll be a pirate, you'll be a queen. We'll build our homes, a brand new world. Let's run away to a new land. Survival mode of children free and wild. These shells will be our boats, and your sticks our swords. As far as you can see, our adventures seven seas. You'll be a pirate, you'll be a queen. In our nervous sky of nature caged, concrete walls in scheduled lives of man-made flows. Miles and miles away, somewhere on Earth under a burning sun, once riverbeds, now dust and sand. Night by night, day by day, a boy, a girl, thousands of them play their games, build their homes, brand new worlds.
Do you remember those days when you used to have that imagination where you'd make things up? You play with a cardboard box or you play with shells on the beach. Those were the days. Those were the life games that we all played in those days. Now it's all iPads and Game Boy. Well, not even Game Boys. They're a passé. They're so old. Things have changed over the years. I'm sure our imaginations were a little bit wider when we were younger because we had to make things up. So brilliant that. Thank you very much for sending that in. Now, Catherine Howe, brilliant poet, bit of a slam poet, wonderful pieces she puts together. She's involved in the teaching profession and she knows what it's like. And I know teachers and know how difficult they're finding it at the moment. And she's put this piece together called War. And you need to listen to this because it's probably affecting your kids or your grandchildren. So have a listen.
All around me, society's falling. Children are failing. Teachers are breaking. Government interrogating. Fuck it, we're dying. Testing, testing, testing. Gotta get on with testing. Where's the love gone? Where's the learning? Where's the bloody poetry of it all? Outstanding teachers are leaving the job. I'd suggest we are losing the plot. Assessments and levels of progress. What's it all for? For kids it is not. Our children are crying out for our love. Not a test paper flown in from above. Self-harm, rising. Depression, rising. Anxiety, rising. Violence, rising. Loneliness, rising. When I joined in with this game of to and fro, I wanted to help my surrogate children and teach them how to grow. Now every day I'm battling to push them, push them, push. Every day I'm battling, being pushed and pushed and pushed. So this is how it's going to go down in my classroom. We're reading and writing, creating, participating. We're loving Blake, adoring Keats, and even feeling Dickens. With a thou and a thee and a one, two, three, we're going to love the English language to a perfect bloody tee. This is a war against standardisation in the name of progress. Fighting for differentiation for every individual soul to grace the corridors of every single school in every single village, town and city. This is not a battle to be lost, not a matter of cost. This is a time to stand up and be counted. In a manner of speaking, a time for helping the wounded.
Way to go, Catherine. Brilliant piece. Love it. Get that creativity back in the classroom. Stop treating the kids as though they're robots. They're all different. Fire up their imaginations. We want more creatives. We want more poets out there. Wonderful piece. Great bit of slam poetry. Thank you very much for sending it in. Superb. Now, getting close to the end of the show. I can't believe an hour's gone and I've just been babbling on for about an hour now as we've put the programme together. We're going to finish off with a piece by Sia Greenhorn, Past Oceans of Animosity, and then we'll have a quick chat after that. And then off we go for another week. So have a listen to this.
Hi, today's poem is entitled Past Oceans of Animosity by Sia Greenhorn. Words. Wind to sail across harbors or through canals to finally pass oceans of animosity. My tongue, my pen beloved, entrusted to me a gift, my friend if used wisely in wisdom. Yes, my freedom to use these tools, my desire not them to abuse, use unwisely. I kneel, I pray so much more each day now as you refuse me. My tongue, my pen beloved, entrusted to me a gift, my friend. In this time in which we live, even if I choose to speak lies unkindly, I choose not. My freedom is to use these tools, my desire not them to abuse, use critically. Yet our tongues are torn, ripped away, sometimes shipped to Siberia. Our pens are stripped from our grips, although we did not panic in violent retaliating hysteria. You bind our hands to keep blind, searching eyes. With pity felt, we're sorrowful inside. For of what value, if you choose to hide wisdom, it rises to heights like eagles to unseen destinations unknown. Its flight alone speaks consolingly beyond your breach. Since comfort preaches deep into crevices of humanity, unappealing to you? As meek ones shown, humbled, law-abiding victims who love the law, God's and man's, this quality of life, perhaps frightening, foreign to you? As sight to the blind and then back again, your wavering inconsistency sway as turbulent winds. However, each tongue, each pen beloved, entrusted to each a gift, a friend, especially if used wisely in wisdom. His word is designed to eternally, individually teach everyone to love one another, hate what is bad. We are not terrorists. We are kind and meek. We seek the peace of God that excels the mind. Though you bind our tongues and chain our fingers behind our stalwart spines, wisdom will still other truth seekers reach as water to parched hearts and bread to the famished and growing impatient lines. Yet our desire not to antagonize. Divided you are, some apologize, since a part of a united mankind groaning. Our eyes often fill, then again dry with your weighty duties given to defend, protect nations imperfectly driven. But why are our tongues and pens ones you mark suspicious, suspect? Why are our freedoms the ones you choose to neglect? If robbed of rights, where will others feel comfort to curl asleep at night? Should they too cower undercover in fright of liberties confiscated in broad daylight? Their tongues, their pens, beloved, entrusted to them, gifts. Friends, if used wisely or not. Though for wisdom, for this privilege, we, the victims, do choose to legally defend our tongues, our pens, beloved, entrusted to us, gifts, our friends to use wisely in wisdom.
There you go. What a great piece to finish off, to use wisely in wisdom. Really nice piece that, Sia. Love all the stuff that you're putting through on Google+. And as I say every week, the more people post, the more that we're going to broadcast you, which has been really wonderful. And we've had lots of new poets on the programme tonight, and I hope you'll support them. I hope you'll carry on listening to The Scribble Show, which is most important. And don't forget, every week we'll be doing our World Comes to You section, along with our Kubli section and our Poet Stream section. So we probably need the show to be about 5 hours long in real terms, but it's not going to be. It's never going to run over the hour, because we know that everybody's busy out there. But don't forget, you can get us on the app, and you can listen to the programme while you're walking your dog, or just walking in the sunshine, or just chilling out, sat down by a beach, having a glass of wine, and just taking in the view. But either way, thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much to all the scribblers who are writing this these great pieces of work. And as I say every week, may your gods go with you. Good night.